Welcome to Skills Journey, hosted by Emil Rovenheimer and Yanni Brofenboer from PopUp, the People Upliftment Program. This is your passport to a transformative journey where we uncover the power of skills together.
It's good to be back with you on this exciting skills journey. And over the last couple of episodes, we've been in fascinating conversations with Anton Smit, Russell Dupriya, and Veronica Bell, masters in their respective fields, Yanni, that have just blessed us with their stories and kind of given us this insight into how they became the masters that they are today.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
And those stories are just so non-linear and non-predictive, and they're almost so rich with the human experience that I think it's really blessed me to see from a master's perspective when they reflect back on their life and on kind of how they ended up being the masters that they are today, how to some of them it's a little bit surprising, and how to some of them the inflection points along the way, almost those critical moments where the trajectory of their life radically changed to put them on this path, it is in the moment kind of insignificant.
Yeah.
And now when they look back, they're like, wow, that had such a profound impact on my journey.
Yes.
And today, and perhaps even in the next episode, we've got the opportunity to reflect on some of those learnings.
Yes.
Such a lot of value and wisdom has been deposited, even in my own life, in these last three conversations. And I've had a challenge to process through all of it and to really kind of hammer down those really important revelations.
Yeah.
And to take some time to just reflect on that and to process through it, I think would be to my benefit, certainly, and hopefully for our listeners as well.
That's definitely why we wanted to reflect today and in the next episode as well, because we will definitely miss the opportunity and wisdom that's been instilled through the conversations. So as we stand still almost and just process through the wisdom that we got from these masters, I was so inspired by, it was specifically Russell, who was so, he didn't like the word mastery because he kept saying, I'm still busy with it. I haven't arrived yet.
Yeah.
And there's wisdom also in that. So in today's conversation, we've highlighted two common themes that we picked up from both, from all three of these masters that we will discuss and just process together and talk through. So yeah, to our listeners also, thank you for joining. And we really hope, if you haven't listened to the interviews we've had with Anton Smit or with Russell Dupriya or Veronica Bell, that you will take some time and go to our podcast on popup.co.za and listen through the wisdom from these people. Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. So, Yanni, in your perspective, what are the kind of some of the common themes that you've picked up between these three masters, although they're from very different backgrounds and very different journeys and very different kind of areas of mastery almost, and still there are kind of these common themes, right?
Yeah.
These golden threads.
What I really enjoyed, if you think of Anton Smit, he is the sculptor that he's renowned over the whole world. And even when he was talking about his masterpiece that he currently feels like is the one in Century City where they've built this underneath this tunnel where they have these faces, and they've actually written music that works with the faces that they've built. And the one thing that stood out with all three of these masters are there's a perseverance that happened within them, and a determination to work in their mastery, to work in that passion. God called them into the specific space, and they've been so determined to make a success out of that. And even using the word success, it made them uncomfortable because to them, their mastery is that's a calling, and that they never gave up being determined to what God has called them in that space.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely one of the themes that I picked up.
Yeah, for sure. It reminds me of a quote by Charlie Munger, who was Warren Buffett's partner. A business partner, he actually passed away quite recently from Berkshire Hathaway, you know, the renowned investment firm. He said, those who keep learning keep rising in life.
Yeah.
And I think Russell's point brought this home so well, where he said, well, I feel like I still have so much to learn. And kind of all the masters had that same feeling to say, geez, I might have achieved some mastery, but really the skills journey that I'm on doesn't end here. This is almost the beginning. Even Anton Smit is like, okay, but here's what's next. Here's the next challenge, the next kind of creative objective. Even though he's already 70 years old, he really still has this drive to say, but what is this next thing? What is this next place where I push the boundaries and I radically reinvent? But even something about Veronica's story, where we have this idea that once you kind of hit mastery, you've now hit mastery. You're now a master.
Mm.
And she had a discussion about like the way she has to do her physical training in order to play violin at the level that she does. And it just made me recognize that you have to constantly maintain your mastery,
yeah.
Right? There's something about your physical ability and in her case, I mean, the dexterity of her fingers and the way that her brain and her body and her movements coordinate, all of that is something that requires maintenance and continual investment in how you do it better and smarter and more sustainably.
Emil, there's a scripture in Galatians 6, verse 9. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And that was definitely something that stood out for me just in picking up this theme of perseverance and really being determined, is these masters, even though they had to jump through pretty big challenges, they didn't give up.
No.
And I love that, because sometimes we feel like when there's pushback, we almost want to give up. Oh, no, the door's closed. I shouldn't kick it open.
Sure. Yeah, that's good.
And that to me is something I really enjoyed with all three of these masters.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's kind of a common theme around, what shall we call it, agency almost.
Mm.
So it's not this – I didn't pick up with any of the three of them that there is this passive engagement in life where they're just like, well, I'm just going to go walk through the open doors. And I think sometimes – you know, we fall into those traps where we say, no, but this door isn't open. And then we are very quick to say, it's just not the right timing,
yeah,
or it's not the right door for me. But there is also something about the perseverance. And yes, I think there is a discernment that comes into mm-hmm. that to say, is it a timing thing, or is it a me being almost prepared and ready for what this door brings? But also to say, well, when I am confronted with an obstacle or a challenge or a difficulty, what is my response? Yeah. Is my response going to be external locus of control? Oh, shucks, I can't do anything about it. Oh, you know, and then come up with a whole bunch of excuses as to why that is. Or am I going to look inward and say, how can I respond? How can I adjust? How can I innovate? And that to me came through from all three of these to say, we're constantly harnessing our agency to create and to be creative around challenges and hurdles and obstacles.
Yep. The one thing I did not hear was a procrastination vibe.
So true.
They were go-getters, even with Anton Smit, when he kept saying, I would work, and during lunch I would go and read books in the library.
Mm.
And after work I would go and I would write a test for myself and go home and do my test at home, go back to work the next day, they'll go mark my tests. That does not speak of procrastination.
No.
And in today's society, I think it's so easy to get confused between I'm not doing anything because I feel I don't know the next step, versus I just procrastinate because I feel like I don't know what to do.
Mm.
And I think all three of these masters had a space where they could have just given up,
yeah,
or just procrastinated. And they actually, they moved in the opposite spirit.
Yes.
Where they said, this might be hard, or I might not know how to do this,
mm-hmm,
but I will. I will not give up. Yeah, I really like
I think one of the drivers that I picked up in the conversations is that they're passionate about it, right?
Oh, definitely.
And I wonder sometimes, you know, this whole discussion around perseverance and determination, I think we should be careful to interpret it as, you know, commitment and like hard work and forcing things through.
Sure.
I think it's actually a response to discovering that passion. And so really it doesn't, like, it's not work.
Yeah.
Yes, it's discipline.
Yeah.
But it's not this by the sweat of my own brow, I'm going to force the fruit ripe type of approach. It's more like from a place of passion and from a place of conviction almost.
Yeah.
I have this extra energy and I want to. Like I do the extra stuff and I pursue the lunchtime reading and I pursue the new objectives and I spend the time with my violin because I love it.
Mm.
And that almost joy that comes from these people discovering purpose,
yeah,
resonates with me. And I wonder if our level of mastery that we see in the world, and what I mean by that is the number of people who actually end up becoming masters,
yeah,
which I think we can all agree is a really small number. I wonder if that number doesn't correlate to the number of people who actually discover their passions in life and kind of invest that in their purpose and the things that give them energy and the things that, you know, just allow the God colors in them to find expression into the world.
That does call for bravery, Emil.
Yeah.
Because we refer to that as well. Sometimes we look at someone chapter 20 and 25 and
yeah,
we're only in chapter 4.
Yes.
And to go to look at someone, yes, that inspires me. But sure, that takes a lot of bravery to actually get there.
It does.
And sometimes, and I think that's where Veronica inspired me when she was like, you have to be diligent in the small everyday disciplines.
Yeah.
So yes, there's an easiness in when you're in your passion and it just, there's a flow and happiness and joy. But there's also hard work in, not in the sweat of my own brow,
no,
but being disciplined to not sit on the couch one more episode of this, don't binge watch a series because yeah, it's just whatever, nothing space. There is a space where we need to be disciplined and say, if this is what God has given me, this opportunity, then I need to be responsible and also work at that. So, yeah.
You know, what you're saying now, Yoni, actually helps me to recognize that this journey actually also requires faith.
Definitely.
Right? If you think about me and my chapter 4 or whatever chapter I'm on, I have no guarantee. Despite the passions and the discipline, I don't know what my chapter 20 is going to look like, right? Nobody does. And so you're chatting to these masters, you know, at their chapter 20 or 30 or whatever it is. And to be honest, when they were at chapter 4, they also didn't know that their chapter 30 was going to look that way. And so the question is, how do you engage that? You know, as somebody listening to a master, it could go wrong. It could blow up in your face. It could be the completely incorrect pathway. But I think there's a resilience in that perseverance to say the thing that distinguishes these masters for me, if you listen to their journeys, is not that everything always went right. It's in fact that oftentimes stuff did go wrong and stuff wasn't easy and stuff wasn't the way that if they had to design their own skills journey, like it didn't play out the way they would have ideally wanted it to. But their responsiveness and their willingness to almost harness their own agency to say, I'm going to be, at the risk of being misunderstood, I'm going to be the master of my own destiny. Mm. So I'm almost going to co-labor and co-craft. I'm not just along for a ride with this. And so when I am confronted with obstacles or failure or pain or discomfort or challenge or, you know, even other people's negative opinions and deliberate, you know, hurdles, how am I going to respond? And every single one of them without fail have brought agency to the table, which has been so inspiring.
Emil, the one thing that I'm just now remembering about Russell, he kept saying when you in the beginning we're like, okay, so let's talk about the success and the how many companies you started and you could see he was like, well, we have this many, but we've had these many, you know, and then he was like, you have to be a big enough person to make mistakes and to realize that I don't always have all the answers and that you surround yourself with other people. But one of the things that I've also realized with these masters, another common thread was just their faith and trust in God. That was one of the, for me, I absolutely loved Anton Smith. Like he's like, for me, if you do not believe in God, you cannot, there is no way you can be an artist. Like he is so sold out to that idea of this is what God is, He gives me the creativity. He's called me into this space.
Yeah.
Who I am is what God has made me to be. So for me, that was one brilliant theme that came through.
Yeah.
And obviously, we chose the masters because we know their character in what we've seen with fruit from their work. But sitting in a room, having this discussion with someone, and then actually seeing Christ oozing out of them.
Yes.
And in their own unique way. That was also beautiful to me. And we've had the opportunity in the last couple of months to get to know each of these people in a specific way and to see them in their craft and working that specific purpose out. And I wish we could actually have our listeners see that. What we've seen.
Yes, yeah. What we've experienced.
Well, what we have experienced.
Because we've actually seen them in their craft.
Yes, that's
actually
that's,
executing it.
That to me was it's one thing to hear someone say I play violin. It's something completely different when you are at an event and you see Veronica Bell play a violin and engage with people and really shining what God has called her to be. That's what she was saying in the interview, that I communicate passion to people.
Yes.
They see God through me. And that really is what she does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I must agree with you. I think the faith and trust, that, like as you've said, I mean, it's a particular subset of masters that we're talking to.
Yeah.
But I do think the authenticity of their spirituality is an ingredient in the way that they engage with their art form, whatever that art form may be. And I think these masters also tell us these art forms are not traditional. Like business as an art form is something that Russell does really well. And it really is an art form in the way that he does that. But to recognize that all three of them acknowledge the role that faith plays in the journey.
Yes.
And to acknowledge that if they had to do this by their own intelligence or their own smarts or their own kind of planning, all three of them without a doubt acknowledge that that's not possible.
Yeah.
There are going to be mistakes. There are going to be things you don't understand. There's things in this journey when they look back that's incredibly hard to explain.
Yeah.
And that's something about engaging in faith from a place of purpose that really allows that creativity and that intentions of God to find expression. And there's something that kind of stirs in my heart about how do I trust my Father's plans, even though I don't understand them, even though they don't make sense, even though I don't know what my chapter 20 or 30 is going to look like. You know, if God has plans to prosper me and not to harm me, and if he makes all things work together for my good, then surrender, as I've seen in all three of these individuals, surrender is not as scary as we sometimes make it out to be.
So one of the things that Russell said in the interview, he was like, we wanted to write a book for our kids. And we at the end just wrote down, read the Bible. You know, it's for him, but also in his leadership. And we know Russell, he reads lots of books.
Yes, he does.
Hundreds of books. He's a very smart person.
Yeah.
But to him, one of the basic things, a foundation for him is what is biblical principles for my leadership? What is biblical principles for my business and entrepreneurship and managing people? And I think that's one of the things that I really came to appreciate from Russell, because he doesn't see people like I'm a people's person. I love people. I love people. That's just kind of how Yanni works.
Yeah.
Where with Russell, he sees the potential in people. And then in his interview, he also said, I get so frustrated when people cannot understand that they have purpose and that they have capacity, and how can I help them to harness that?
Yeah, so beautiful.
But that's something that God gave him.
Exactly.
That is really stunning to me. And there's a scripture that came to mind. It's in Psalm 14. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And they are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There's no one who does good. If we do not understand that God, there's a God.
Mm.
And I think for us, our listeners and at Pop Up as well, we feel when you realize God has created you with a purpose, there's something else that happens in you.
Yes.
When you were saying about we have a loving Father, and when we connect those things together, there's like a spark.
Yeah.
And that's how we can actually grow and do business or ministry or whatever we're called to do with faith and trust.
And Yoni, I think there's another element to this. There's quite a lot of research that suggests if you are under stress, your creativity suffers, right?
Oh, I definitely believe that.
So creativity is inherent. We all have it. It finds expression in different ways because of our expertise and our passions. But we all have inherent creativity. Now, imagine an environment where I'm not sure why I'm here. I'm not sure that I'm competent. I'm constantly kind of facing these self-belief doubts around my value, my dignity, my significance. And recognizing the love of the Father over my life creates an environment for me to live freely and lightly in the unforced rhythms of Christ. And in that type of relationship, this creativity and this agency essence finds expression more naturally. So I think it's kind of easy to justify why understanding my position in Christ actually unlocks the source of creativity. And yes, some people get that right by sheer force without God. But the question is that sustainable, or will that not ultimately lead to a place of burnout and doubt and a whole bunch of other challenges because the essence of our creative energy is God?
I love that. I also think if we're only relying on our own strategies and thinking our own kingdom, that it's lonely.
Yes.
I didn't hear that from either of our masters.
No.
They weren't lonely. Because they were very specific, and we'll talk about the community in our next conversation. But they were very specific to say that you have to choose God. There were certain moments in all three of them where God had a significant calling on their life, and how they continually pursue that.
Yeah.
And I'm once again, and if we talk also to our life skill facilitators, they will always say, you can see when a learner comes in at pop-up, they're hopeless. They feel like they're just there, breathing air. And then God comes and he gives them this acknowledgement of this, you are my child, I love you, I've called you. And once you start realizing that, then I think there's that unforced rhythm of grace that happens.
Yeah.
Then you start figuring out, oh, but I've always been passionate about writing or about communication, whatever that would be. So I hope that you guys were also inspired by us just reflecting on two, but we have actually five key learnings, and we'll continue the conversation in our next discussion. So once again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being part of Skills Journey, and our prayers as well that in this journey, you will trust God, that he will show you where are those spaces that you should persevere, not out of the sweat of your own brow, but because that's what he called you to do or to be, and also to believe that and trust God that he has this calling figured out for you. And my prayer is also that you will pursue that you will not just sit down as a passive person, but to actually look ahead and ask God. You know, in the armor of God, it talks about the feet of
preparation.
Yeah, I'm like, you're not sitting back and you're like, oh, I'm waiting and I'm going to share the gospel.
It's not passive.
No, it's not passive. We're actively seeking. And I also, that's my prayer for all of us, that we will see God actively in the spaces that we function. So may you be blessed, and thank you for joining us on Skills Journey until we see you guys again.